WIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Delcarpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:05. It is a Monday morning. It is the 20th of October. And for the Mariner fans out there, this is it. This is the end. For us Dodger fans, we're just relaxing and watching the American League teams beat up on themselves, each other, before they get to roll in and face the real ball club. I'm feeling confident after I bemoaned that team all year. Anyway, hope you had a good weekend out there, everybody, whatever you decide to do. Here's what we're doing this morning. Port River Executive Director Kevin Greenwood's with us in studio. We got a couple things to talk about. Second half of the program, the Dallas Area Chamber of Commerce CEO Lisa Farquharson is scheduled to join us on the show. So all that coming up on Mid-Columbia Today. So why don't we just get right to it here, and let's tell you about this day as men and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1803, the U.S. Senate ratified the Louisiana Purchase. 1944, General Douglas MacArthur returned to the Philippines, fulfilling a promise he made after being ordered to evacuate the country 2 years earlier, prior by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. 1947, the House Un-American Activities Committee opened hearings into alleged communist influence and infiltration in the U.S. motion picture industry. 1967, a jury in Meridian, Mississippi, convicted seven men of violating the civil rights of slain civil rights workers James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner. The seven received prison terms ranging from 3 to 10 years. 1973, in what would become known as the Saturday Night Massacre, Special Watergate Prosecutor Archibald Cox was dismissed, and Attorney General Elliot Richardson and Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus resigned. 1976, 78 people were killed when the Norwegian tanker SS Frosta ran the commuter ferry George Prince on the Mississippi River near New Orleans. 1977, three members of the rock group Lynyrd Skynyrd, including lead singer Ronnie Van Zant, were killed along with three others in the crash of a chartered plane near Macomb, Mississippi. 1990, I don't know if y'all remember this, I do a bit. Three members of the rap group Two Live Crew were acquitted by a jury in Fort Lauderdale of violating obscenity laws with an adults-only concert in nearby Hollywood the previous June. And in 2011, Muammar Gaddafi, at the age of 69, Libya's dictator for 42 years, killed as revolutionary fighters overwhelmed his hometown of Sirte and captured the last major bastion of resistance 2 months after his regime fell. Days for today. It is Community Media Day today. Did not explain it, what I saw. I don't know if we represent that or not. I guess we try to. It's International Adjust Your Chair Day today. Make sure your back's doing okay. It's International Chef's Day today. It's National Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day today. I bet you there's a lot of us out there that need to do that. It's also the National Day on Writing. And it's World Statistics Day today. Old term, lies, damn lies, and statistics. Food today. National Brandied Fruit Day today, for those of you who are into that. It's National Chicken and Waffles Day today. I like them both. I just decide I don't need them together. I don't really, that doesn't do it for me. It's National Mozzarella Stick Day today. That's a good one. And finally, it's Office Chocolate Day today. Apparently you're supposed to bring chocolate to the office today, which will brighten up the mood, probably. So there it all is, for what it's worth. Maybe not a whole lot. 8:08 in the morning. We'll come back, talk to Port Hood River Executive Director Kevin Greenwood right after this.
Get the word out.
Rage Graphics and Design.
Get the word out!
Our business is making your business noticed. Sign design, three-dimensional carved signs, banners, embroidery.
Get the word out.
At Rage Graphics and Design, we use the leading edge of technology to help you
get the word out.
Your business, your logo, your advertising.
Let's come up with your design together.
217 East 3rd Street in the Dalles. Call 296-SIGN. Online at ragegraphicswithanx.com.
Get the word out.
The Next Door is doing their annual fundraiser, Harvest of Hope. The Next Door is the Gorge's largest social service agency to meet the needs of our local youth. Harvest of Hope will be at the Ruins in Hood River on Thursday, October 23rd from 5:30 to 8. Enjoy live music by the Tillinghast Mountain Duo, food catered by Casa El Mirador, and a silent auction. Tickets are $50. Links for tickets can be found at netstoreinc.org.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles football. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at gorgeradio.com for Eagles football all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by CCCU Cascade, Indian Creek Golf Course and Divot's Restaurant, and Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda.
The Eagles host David Douglas Friday night at 6:30 on KIHR.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM, and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
Port of Hood River Executive Director Kevin Greenwood is going to join us. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Oh, not bad. I had a good weekend.
So excellent. You
know. Well, I'm going to start out with something. I'm going to my own personal experience here. I've got a question for you.
Sure.
I previewed it a little bit. It turns out I'm going to talk about something like this at your meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
The port meeting. This is how crossings for the bridge get invoiced.
Sure.
Now, electronic tolling. I crossed the bridge before I went on a vacation. I think it was the first month, the last Monday in August, like the 25th or something, somewhere in there, August 25th. When I came across, I went back home before I was leaving. So I actually jumped on my laptop real quick and, okay, it's top of mind. I don't do this much. I'll pay it right now. Went, nope, couldn't do it because it has to be 24 hours or so. It's like, oh, great. And so, of course, I forgot. And about 3 weeks later, I went, hold it. I haven't received an invoice yet, and I'll go in. Now it was beyond the time I could do it, apparently. I tried to log in, couldn't do it. So I said, okay, I guess I'm just going to have to wait for this invoice. I didn't get the invoice till last week, and now I will say it just charged me the basic toll rate. There's no problem there. But my question is, why does it take this long for me to get a bill for a bridge I crossed about 6 to 7 weeks ago?
Yeah, great question. And it's really comes down to, well, first, I do have a couple of follow-up questions. So you don't have a breeze by.
I do not have a breeze by.
Gotcha. Were you in your personal car?
I was in my personal car.
Not a rental car.
No, I was not in a rental car. Gotcha. I was in my own vehicle that I own myself. Yes. So I should have been easy to find.
Yes. And then you said it was about 2 months ago?
Yeah, it was a late August. I get it. I would say it took about 6 to 7 weeks to get an invoice.
Yeah. You were on the back end prior to us making an administrative change in the invoicing processes because we were getting lots and lots of similar phone calls and emails and voicemails from people just like you, Mark.
Yes.
So, there was quite a delay, but we have changed that. One thing that is good, you were not assessed any fines or fees.
Yes. No, it's the invoice for $7, at which point I went, okay, you know, I got another week to pay it. It's still sitting on my desk, but because I can't pay, it's one of the few things I don't pay electronically, so I don't always get to it.
Because you do it so rarely.
Rarely, yes.
So there were some changes, and it was because originally, going back prior to the two months that you're describing, there were fees and fines assessed. And so that really made people upset.
Yes, it should.
Because there would be people, and they weren't necessarily people locals, they were tourists, then some people would be going on a four-month adventure on the West Coast, and they wouldn't get back to their home in Montana, you know, several months after they crossed. And so at that point, they were getting fees and fines assessed. So we have changed that, and I think that the compromise is that there isn't the fees and fines because of the delay in mail and such.
Well, I guess the part, though, that I think I found even the most irritating was the inability to take care of this quickly, electronically, which I think most people would want to do.
So are you thinking, do you think like a QR code or something? Would you have utilized that?
Probably. Or it's just, I should have just been able to go when I was done with it. Now, I get maybe, okay, it was a trip to see where I go get my glasses. I was over there and back, you know, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that one. Okay, I get that maybe it's a little quick. But once it's in the system, I should be able to go in there and pay it. I don't care whether it's 6 days later or 6 weeks later.
Sure.
You should be able to do
that. Or 6 minutes later.
Or six. Well, I get the, you know, maybe it's not, you know, if I was, let's say, crossing back over real quick at 10:30, I get home at 10:35 and it's not there.
Right.
I get that. That part I have some understanding for. And though I think it's possible to do it, at least I have some understanding for it. But I should have been able, let's say, you know, 4 or 5 days later to go on there and get this done. And again, I forgot it because, face it, bridge crossing is not exactly a top-of-mind event for the most part.
Right.
I should be able to go on there 3 weeks later and pay whatever I need
to
pay.
Should be in the system at
I
that
should
point.
Be in the system at that point. I thought, reading on your website, it was like, if you don't do it within a 2 week period, you leave the system electronically. Now you got to wait for the invoice.
Sure.
And that's what irritated me was that part.
Why weren't you in the system?
Yeah. Well, I should stay in the system.
Yeah.
Once you're there.
Yes. With your license plate number and
exactly
and the name
and I can go in, pay what I need to pay.
Unless you sell the car, don't sell the car during that period.
Well,
that happens too.
Which, by the way, people are going to do
that. Yes, that does
happen.
They're
going to go move through their lives. But even then, you would still remember it. You'd have a note of the license plate, et cetera, and move on from there. That's what is like, okay, it shouldn't, the lag time shouldn't be that much. And to be honest, the lag time to get an invoice shouldn't be that far.
Right, right. 6 or 7 months.
So, you know, weeks.
Weeks.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far here.
Well, no, and you bring up a good point, and it's something that we, and the signage, you know, that's the other part too, is especially, you know, maybe the locals here maybe take the signage for granted, but we do see quite a bit of feedback and concern because it's not particularly clear to visitors how they go about paying that. And so I think that's one of the issues, and it's kind of a coincidence that you bring this up because that is going to be a discussion item at our meeting on Tuesday. Tomorrow.
Do we have an idea? I mean, how long have we been doing? We've been doing this for 6 months or
so. Yeah, exactly. And that's a good point that this is all electronic tolling has just been a kind of growing pains.
But I guess my question is, do we have an idea yet? Because frankly, some of the payment rate is somewhat, there's almost I hate to use the word honor system here because it's not quite that, but there's elements of that here.
I think that we have actually had good payment. I mean, there haven't been payments that haven't been made. You know, obviously there's always going to be issues in informing and educating people that call in and are frustrated. That certainly has happened. And so we have made, like I just mentioned, we have made changes in those policies to be a little bit more lenient as people and as the port staff, you know, tries to be more efficient with this.
Because, I mean, one of the things I thought of as I waited for this to arrive was, okay, did they even get my license plate? I mean, you know, are there issues at that end? Clearly it did because eventually I got the invoice.
Right.
And maybe it was just sometimes billing cycles I get from businesses.
Yeah, that's a little too long, though.
Yeah, but that is too long.
Yeah,
at some point,
absolutely.
You know, I could get where, okay, it had come a month later because, okay, maybe I just hit, you know, the cycle's 2 days before
It should be less than 2 weeks.
Again, 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And what bothered, again, what the real problem to me is the inability for me to be able to go on and take care of this in that interim.
Right.
That frustrates me.
Just to see your crossing pop up on your phone or on your laptop and click to pay.
Click to pay it and be done with it.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's the way this works, if it works. I mean, I know other places do it, so it must work in some way.
Golden Gate Bridge is probably the, and certainly the bridges up in the Sound, Seattle area.
Yeah.
I will mark that down.
Okay. I mean, I usually don't do this sort of thing on air, but I thought
opportunity.
But there had to be others. I had not looked at your agenda for tomorrow, by the way, so I did not know this was going to come up.
So the issue on the agenda is more related to the signage.
Okay.
So that what we've been seeing, during this transition from to all electronic tolling is really how do you quickly and safely communicate that this is a toll bridge and make it as easy as possible to pay without people fumbling on their phones or taking their eyes off traffic.
Especially, frankly, on that bridge.
Exactly. As narrow as it is.
I don't need people playing with their phone to pay a toll while making sure they stay in the narrow lane they have.
Right.
Especially if they are in a larger vehicle.
Yeah, or an RV.
Or an RV or anything else.
So those are the balancing acts between more signage, you know, QR codes versus being focused on the driving on that very substandard drive lane.
Yeah. Moving on to something else.
Sure. Thank you.
I usually don't do that, but this one, it was like, I know others must have
well
had
deserved, well deserved.
The Poor Hood River is selling some acreage to Amazon. Tell us about where this is.
Yes. And so, I did do some research on this. So the 12 acres out at Lower Hanel Mill, which is right next to Cardinal Glass, the Port of Hood River for over a decade has been working to accumulate the land out there to clean it up, really for it to be a not just an income producer, but really a job producer. And so there was a 2018 report that recommended that land be sold with the intent of generating jobs for the Mid Valley. And so that came together. We've had a contract with Tom Bocci with Kidder Matthews to, you know, fill our vacancies and such. And he brought Amazon to the port, and that kind of started the process.
So you're going to sell it to Amazon. What are they planning to do with it?
So there's four different sizes of Amazon facilities. The big giant distribution centers are like the ones out there in Woodburn.
Right. That must take up 100 acres.
Yes,
at
they
least.
Got planes, and I mean, it's a mammoth place. Yeah. And then there's the smaller sortation centers, which would still be big for our area. And that's like the one in Fairview, the Gresham area, just to the north of 84, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a smaller, what they refer to as a last mile facility.
Okay.
And this is really going to be primarily vans. And as some of your listeners may know, not all of those vans are Amazon employees, but they're all 1099 contractors own some of those vans. And so the intent here isn't that there's going to be tons and tons of giant semis and coming into that area. And they'll still need to do a traffic impact study.
I was going to say, even if it's vans, we're still talking. What road is that along?
So that's there's a couple different roads. There's the Lower Hanel Mill Road.
Okay.
And it's right off of 35.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say there's Stadelman is another road that's through there.
All
but
right.
I think there's a, I want to say there's a...
These are not big roads particularly.
No.
But they also used to handle a lot of fruit or logging trucks.
Absolutely. This was a mill site.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've been actually looking for photos of the old mill that had been there from a historic perspective. And so I've talked to Arthur Babbitt's trying to... We've been... If anybody has pictures of what the mill looked like out there, you know, going back 50, 60 years, please send them my way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the big takeaway for the commission in making this decision was twofold. One, it was going to be very problematic for the Port of Hood River to start a business and have it be profitable. If you recall, we looked at housing for the bridge.
You looked at housing, you looked at the RV park there. I think there's something else. But it's faded with time.
Exactly.
You've looked for a lot of things.
And so the other thing, too, is that we did reach out to the other privately held businesses out there. We reached out to Cardinal Glass, the tortilla chip manufacturing facility, and others to see if there was interest there. And there was quite a bit of interest in one lot. So that whole area out there is made up of four lots.
Okay.
And so there was, we might be interested in one, you know, and so it was kind of a piecemeal effect.
Yeah.
And so, frankly, the $7.25 is a extremely high, certainly a record for land values.
$7.25 million?
$7.25 per square foot.
Oh, okay.
So the total value is right around 3.4.
$3.4 million.
Exactly.
Total for the 12. Okay.
But I think for the metric that is meaningful is the $7.25 for light industrial per square foot.
So, I mean, does that reflect the lack of industrial land in this area?
Absolutely.
For it to be that high.
So the port show great, planning for the future in piecing together that facility 10 plus years ago.
How shovel ready?
It's entirely.
I assume it's got to have services out there because it's next to Cardinal. It's
yes.
You've got other businesses out there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there was Wetlands. I did some research on it, and originally there were Wetlands out there. That's all been mitigated. There's been state and federal funding to clean up this site, so it is about as shovel-ready as any place in the area.
How many jobs is Amazon talking about? This may be for me where the rubber meets the road.
Absolutely. And I think that was a key point for the commission as well. So, you know, I think when we originally started the discussions, I would say the numbers that were coming out were pretty lofty and frankly, a little dubious. So the initial numbers were 100 to 200, which I just think raised my eyebrows.
I don't know that business, so I wouldn't know if it was a 24/7 facility, maybe I could see that.
Yeah, so I started doing a little bit of research on it, and the Port of Tillamook Bay, so Michelle Bradley, who's the general manager at the Port of Tillamook Bay, is a peer of mine, and so I had seen that one of these facilities, almost exactly like the one that's being proposed here in Hood River, was established in Tillamook. So I did call Michelle. She was saying that their facility down there is about 40 to 50 jobs.
How much do they pay is my question.
Well, that's the other thing, too. The numbers that are coming out, that these are more better paying jobs. They're not just entry level.
Yeah.
And there's also going to be some manager positions and executive positions. And so I think the fact that there was going to be a wide range of job types in that part of our county, I think really was meaningful.
Because the other part of it would be, not just you create 40 or 50 jobs. Are they jobs that are created that can be filled by people who are here? Because that, it's one thing it's nice to add 40 to 50 jobs into any economy. But for talking about jobs that we're instead of helping people who need a better paying job, we know our housing costs here.
Sure.
Who need better paying jobs, a job like that, that's one thing, but if we're just going to be already in positions that just end up having to be filled from the outside, then it's not nearly to me as attractive.
You know, just qualitatively, I've talked to people in our community, Mark, that actually live here and drive out to that Fairview facility to work.
I'm not surprised. That doesn't shock me at all.
And so I am actually, I think that there's people here that are already doing that job.
And I can see where this would be attractive for them to transfer over if it works for them.
Exactly. And I'm not pretending to understand the Amazon business model. They've clearly done their research that this is a prime spot, and we think it is, in spite of knowing the day-to-day workings of Amazon's business model.
And where I'm going is, to me, sale price, not to say that you should get took for nothing or you should hold them up for ransom. But to me, is important when the port is selling land, is if it's being sold, is it going to serve a community purpose? Like, I don't mind if the port actually loses a little bit. If it creates good jobs, it's like, okay, I'm willing to invest in that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not willing to give Amazon, by the way, a break. That part
absolutely.
I'm not willing to do.
Yes, and that was absolutely, nobody wanted that.
No.
And that was one of the reasons why we were compelled to go out and interview other manufacturing businesses in our area to see if they were ready for that. But there just wasn't. But to go back to your point, we have fall planning. As you know, the port goes through by twice a year planning. And so one of the discussions will be, where will these funds be spent for the quote-unquote public benefit that you're bringing up? I think that, as you know, talking to Commissioner Shepard, there's been a real interest in that roundabout opening up opportunities down on the waterfront.
I can see that, but having said that, we have just crossed off a piece of industrial land. Or commercial land that we don't have a lot of around here.
Right.
And that's very high price. That's why you were able to get $3+ million for it. And I sit there and go, should we be looking for another piece of land to replace it? So we have another. Now, this isn't a port requirement, but I know for the city of Hood River and Hood River County, you're supposed to have X supply of industrial lands available for X years, and there are a lot more problems with that LCDC requirement than this here, yes. By the way.
No net change.
But the point being is, I could definitely see maybe taking some of it and using it, say, for the, because it would also open up opportunities for development on the waterfront, yep. What's left down there. But I think we also have to be thinking about, okay, maybe taking some of this so we have something for the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think that's why, and that's not really a staff.
We're going to bring that. That's a very much a policy issue. And it's a tough policy question. It's not an easy policy question.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where that fall planning, that'll be one of the agenda items, is how to reinvest this these funds.
I will ask this just because I think there will be some people who feel this way. And you mentioned you did talk to some of the local stakeholders as potential buyers for this property. But I think there are some, you mentioned Amazon's business model. And I think some people get a little squeamish about doing business with the Amazons, the Walmarts, et ceteras of the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How much of a consideration was that?
It was a big one.
Okay.
You know, and I've talked to, you know, Ron, I talked to Ron Dodge, you know, about this topic, you know, and he's like, you know, he's really kind of anti-Amazon, you know,
okay.
And it was really interesting to kind of get that take, you know, and I think that the commission did struggle with it, but I think at the end of the day, everybody that we all utilize Amazon.
Yeah, I think that's a reality.
You know, and so there was kind of this check. Do I use this service?
That leads me to another question, which is, you know, to the Port of Hood River selling for $3 million this piece of land for 12 acres seems like a lot.
It is.
To Amazon, it's like
nothing.
It's like me going and buying a loaf of bread,
right.
Okay? Which lends me to this question. Not to say they buy things for no reason, but how committed... Is there any minimum commitment of how long you'll operate this facility for? Because if we're taking this off. You know, I assume there's no enterprise zone, all that stuff. There's none of that going on. So they'll actually be a taxpayer when they buy this.
Yeah, that's correct. And to be clear, this was a purchase and sale agreement.
Yeah.
So it hasn't closed.
Right.
There's 210 days.
You have a due diligence
period.
Almost
a year with the full extensions, just with the permits and application processes.
And I assume, I mean, they've got building permits and all sorts
of
things.
Well, they're starting.
County, and they're starting that process.
So they
got a lot of stuff to do. This isn't going up tomorrow.
Exactly.
But if we're doing a deal with somebody like that, I also want a commitment that those jobs are going to be there
Absolutely.
For X period of time.
Yes.
And not that, okay, they start with this X number. You mentioned the first jobs numbers you guys got were not realistic.
Right, right.
Learn from somebody who's been through it. Here's what's realistic. But to ensure, I mean, for a company that size, let's face it, if they suddenly decided, no, we don't need to do this, $3 million ain't that much to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them going, okay, fine, and just shut it down, and then and then nothing ever happens on this land. They just hold it for goodness knows however.
Yeah.
Are there some clauses, or will there be some clauses, to ensure that those jobs stay? Yeah, for I know you can't say forever, obviously, but X period of time.
And I would say, other than that $100 to $200 million jobs number,
right.
At this point they have not been able to commit to any specific numbers. That's why I reached out to the facility in Tillamook.
Okay.
Klamath Falls has one, Hermiston has one. You know, and so how have they been as neighbors?
There is some track record to go by here.
There is some track record. And it can't just switch it and turn it into a Target.
Right.
So it has to be in their name. Mm-hmm. And so but there isn't anything that says that if they were to go bankrupt or whatever, that it would somehow just be mothballed. You know, there isn't any provisions in that.
I'm not thinking they're going bankrupt. My thought is, we decide there's a different model we want to use and this is no longer needed. And all of a sudden they hold a piece of land, no jobs, it doesn't get developed, so the tax advantages don't occur.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to, you know, I almost think they should be either a reversionary clause or something that guarantees we're getting this economic
development. Well, as long as even if they were to have like financial troubles or you know something like that, the fact that it was still held in private, they would still be generating those property taxes.
But if it gets it'll generate more taxes once you build on it and develop it.
Sure, you got the personal property, you got the employment taxes. Mm-hmm. I track you there for sure.
Yeah, so it's like I get it, but it's like I'd want to really nail them down.
Yeah, and I think that there's always that challenge in controlling someone or a business entity.
Well, yeah, but there's a line. I mean, there's a certain line you can't cross either.
Right, but I think that we've taken that into effect. Mm-hmm. You know, the name of the company that would be actually doing the development is a company called Ambrose.
Right.
And so that will probably, if you're looking at building permit applications, it'd be under Ambrose.
Yeah.
So they are interested in starting as quickly as possible, though.
8:35 in the morning, we do have to run. So we're basically in a due diligence process in about another, sounds like 7 months or so. At least.
Yeah, it could be as much as a year with the extensions.
Kevin Greenwood, Port of Hood River.
Thanks, Mark.
8:35 in the morning, quick news for you after this.
Staples presents, That Was Easy.
So my sandwich shop was opening in a week and I needed signage.
A week is plenty of time to panic.
I went to Staples. They printed banners, posters, and flyers to promote my grand opening.
All in time for your grand closing.
Nope, I had it same day. I even got $125 off my order.
Holy onions. For all your business printing, Staples.
That was easy.
Now save up to $125 on custom print orders. In-store and online, same day if ordered by 12 p.m. Int 11-1 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Every morning, we rise and shine, make breakfast, and brush away the night's rest. These routines help us start the day off right. Nature Made vitamins are a simple step in that daily care regimen. Multivitamins with daily essentials, clinically studied probiotics for gut health support, magnesium to help relax the body. Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Dear Traction, Toyota has 25 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. The RAV4 has legendary versatility. The Grand Highlander's adult-sized third row is for real. And the Tacoma's wild side comes standard. From job sites to campsites and game nights, there's an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive Toyota to get you there in style. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
1 in 4 Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
In the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Quick check of the news. We are running a bit behind here. Tens of thousands of Oregonians turned out to protest on Saturday. President Donald Trump filling city streets and parks while marching in inflatable costumes and toting signs. The protests in dozens of cities, large and small, across Oregon, including the Dalles and Hood River, part of a national day of protests that included more than 2,600 events and drew millions more nationwide, according to organizers. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson offering a troubling portrait of workplace conditions inside the city's Immigration and Customs Enforcement building, depicting a high-stress and haphazard environment. He says those types of oversights and mistakes are an accident waiting to happen. Wilson issued the warning in a Newsweek editorial published over the weekend, in which he also accused the Trump administration and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem of needlessly courting disaster. The FAA said it will allow Boeing to produce more 737 MAX airplanes by increasing the monthly limit that it imposed. After a door plug blew off an Alaska Airlines jet the company built, the FAA said this won't change the way it oversees Boeing production processes. Connor Mackey, the men's winner, Ashley Rasmussen, the women's victor of the Columbia Gorge Marathon on Sunday. Sunshine's supposed to arrive sometime today. High temperatures going to be in the low to mid-60s. Wind should be fairly light by this afternoon. Currently 47 in Stevenson, 45 in the Dalles, 46 in Hood River, and it is 8:38 in the morning.
At McCoy Holliston Insurance, we're proud to serve the Columbia River Gorge since 1946 with the same dedication to our clients that's made us your trusted choice for generations. Hi, this is Nicole. We're honored to be voted Best Insurance Agency in the Gorge 4 years in a row. Whether it's protecting your home, auto, business, farm, or planning for life's unexpected moments, our experienced team is here for you every step of the way. Call us at McCoy Holliston Insurance in White Salmon today and experience the service you deserve.
Get wall-to-wall savings at Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpets. Work directly with Larry, Morgan, or Shelby. They know flooring with over 30 years' experience, plus Affordable Floors gives you a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. So come to the one-stop shop for everything your floor needs. Get wall-to-wall savings at your hometown floor store. Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpets, 1512 Osprey Drive, across from Windmaster Market in Hood River, online at affordablefloorshr.com.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
After my wife died, I lost myself too. I didn't feel like doing anything or seeing anyone. Then my granddaughter called to say she misses me, and I realized I had to make a change. That's when I made the call. I got referred to a psychiatrist, and she explained depression can happen to anyone. I'm learning that getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. Mental health care works when you make the call.
See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we welcome you back at 8:41 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined on the telephone by the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce CEO, Lisa Farquharson. Lisa, sorry we're a little late getting to you this morning, but we got into something here. So thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, and thank you. I'm going to guess it was the port.
It was the port of Hood River. We were talking about they're in the process.
They got a lot going on.
Well, they're in the process of selling 12 acres to Amazon. So
yeah, they do have a lot going on. Okay,
that's what we were discussing.
Yes.
That. So anyway.
Yep, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yes. Well, thank you.
Well, anyway, you're into a parade season right now.
Yeah.
You got two parades to deal with.
So we have two parades actually going on because we decided one isn't enough for November. So we have two. And so, of course, November 11th, our Veterans Day Parade. The registration is on our website, thedalleschamber.com. You can call us. You can come in. We've got paper ones if you don't like to do the online. But there is no cost. You just need to look at all of the little rules that we have for keeping everybody safe, and that will be November 11th at 11 a.m. doing the normal parade route. And we would really love it if we could have as many people as possible just to pay tribute to our veterans, both past, present, and future. Our country relies on that, and so we would like to honor them that day. So, and then, of course, our traditional that we've had, I think this is our 36th one that we've managed to count, is our Starlight Parade, and that'll be the 28th, the day after Thanksgiving. After the parade is a tree lighting and hot cocoa, and Santa makes an appearance to light the tree. Mm-hmm. This year, we had a lot of fun with the theme, the lights, the sights, the parade tonight. And you're like, wait a minute, that's kind of rhymey, sounds kind of familiar. Well, it's an ode to Dr. Seuss, where we like to say imagination meets illumination. So we're kind of excited just to have this family-friendly, fun theme that any Dr. Seuss character can show up in this parade. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of excited just for something fun and whimsical and to create smiles.
So that'll be taking place, of course, Friday night after Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yep, yep. And so it starts at 6, normal parade route. After it gets all done, it'll come down to the chamber, and that's when we will do the tree lighting and have hot cocoa and popcorn and cookies, you know, all those feel-good things. You know, Underwriter Ford and Discover Rentals are making this all possible, and I do have a challenge. Because everybody, when they think Dr. Seuss at Christmas, they think the Grinch in Whoville. Well, I want us to think outside the box. How many books does Dr. Seuss have? There's a lot, but one of my faves growing up, my dad made it super, super fun, and so we did the same thing for my son, was Dr. Seuss's ABCs. And when you get to the very end of the book, the character that starts with a Z is a zizzer, zazzer, zuzz. I want to see one of those in the parade. So if I see one of those, someone will get a $25 gift card to a business of their choice in the Dalles, because we just need one. We need one in our parade.
When we know what a zizzer, zazzer, zuzz was?
It's white with pink. It's a big, huge critter that Dr. Seuss made up, and it started with a Z. So it's a zizzer, zazzer, zuzz, as you can plainly see. So, yes, I could probably recite this book by heart. Can't remember yesterday, but I can remember this book just because I remember my dad making it so fun and so exciting to get to that very last page and would surprise us all, even though we knew. So it's reading. It's those books. It's that family time. It just brings giggles to your heart, and that's what we're hoping to do with this parade. Mm-hmm. So I would love it just to see so many of this creative artist characters show up in our parade. There's so much to choose from, and I just want our community to have fun and come together and just feel community. So that's what I'm hoping will happen with this parade theme. We've had lots of amazing and beautiful floats over the years, but I think we all need this lighthearted, whimsical thing that feels like family and community coming together just for fun. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping it accomplishes that, and we can't wait to see what everybody creates.
When is the deadline, by the way, to sign up for that particular parade?
Starlight, I believe, is the 21st, the Friday before. We need that because we're doing the lineup, and then we have Thanksgiving and then the parade. So our Kiwanis are helping us with the lineup, so we need that Monday and Tuesday for them to put all of the things in order. It's not as big of endeavor as Cherry Festival, but it's still, we're making sure everything's where it needs to be, music, horses, bands, whatever that is that are entering, we need to make sure of that. The Veterans Day Parade is the 6th of November for the deadline, because there again, we need some time to put everything together. And so if everybody can get their parade application in by then, tomorrow I will do a count of how many people have signed up for Veterans Day so far. So to challenge everybody, get your applications in. Let's make this a day of honoring.
So coming up, it's not a chamber event, but I know the City of the Dalles is going to hold a informational session, as we're coming up on three fairly large projects of varying sizes in the downtown area, which, you know, which always has it's always the good bad side of this. The good side is they improve the community, then the long term, these are all, you know, it's all good projects, will help business, etc. Then there's the short term, which is while the project is going on, Sixth Street can tell you. Sixth Street can tell you about this, I would assume. It's messed up. I'm curious to know how the chamber is, you know, in representing, you know, kind of the business community, how you work with the city in terms of trying to lessen impacts.
It's a great question. I know that we're going to all the informational meeting, as many of us can, just to hear how, where those impacts are, how they're going to affect the timeline. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm trying to do some serious math, because it's going to affect the Cherry Festival.
Really? Okay.
First Street will all be torn up and not be able to get back there, along with Federal Street Plaza. Those are going simultaneously. And so usually Federal Street Plaza is going to be is where we normally do our entertainment and one of the entryways into the event. And then First is the entire carnival. And then we use those parking lots for all of our vendors. Well, none of that will be accessible. So I'm trying to be creative. I'm working with five or six people from the city, a couple other people that have helped with this event over the many years. And we're trying to figure out where we can place this. So I don't have a solution yet, but please know it's in the works. I'm trying to come up with a solution that will fit the whole footprint that we put back there. So I understand totally that this is going to affect different things and all the different traffic patterns and all of the parking. So we're going to go and listen and see exactly where those impacts are and then what maybe the chamber can do to help navigate or at least inform and do further promotion so that people are aware that, you know, hey, we still have businesses open and they're here for you. And if we don't support them, they're not going to be here and this project will be not worth it. Sorry, the project will be done in vain if we don't have businesses to help do this. So I am going to do my best to come up with ways to either campaign, promote, or be talking to the city, okay, you know, if you do this closure at this time and this closure at this time, you've just cut off both veins. So hopefully we can navigate through those as we hear the different impacts and wins. And then all of the different streets and those different parts and pieces, how that's going to work to see how we can, there's no other word to say this, but how we can navigate all that.
You know, with you mentioned Cherry Festival, to be honest, I was not thinking about Cherry Festival at all on this. I understand why you are, because that's what you do.
Yes.
But did Cherry Festival wasn't always in that location, if I remember right, was it?
No. It wasn't.
Is the old location an option?
Go ahead.
Is the old
go ahead, sorry.
Is the old location an option?
It's not big enough. If you remember, the old location was a couple blocks because our Cherry Festival was only one day when I first got here in 12. So 2013, it was a one-day event, and we were just like a block and a half around the Civic. And so we're looking on 4th Street to see how far across we can go. Does that take it far enough? Because we have turned this event, we've tripled, almost quadrupled the size and the amount of vendors that we have. Didn't have a carnival before, and now we have a full-fledged carnival in this. We have a whole entertainment stage. Before, we were able to do it in one little parking lot. So a lot of things have grown immensely since 2013, and that's why we moved it, is because it had gotten so big, and it's like, how can we do this and still have the ability to grow, change, or do that? And that's when we shifted it over to First Street and utilizing all of those parking lots between First and the alleyway of the businesses to Second Street. And so that's what we're trying to do, is I call it festival math. I'm trying to make sure that that footprint can fit somewhere else, but you can't just do footprint. You have to do power, water, access. Do you have lines up above? Your carnival can't be there. Does it have a slope? Does it have entryways? Are we blocking off businesses completely, or do they have alley access? So there's a lot that goes into this besides just shifting it to a street of our choices. So that's what we're doing. We're checking power and what's available. Most people don't know that I actually use 8 or 9 power boxes that are special ones that are attached to power poles in between all of those parking lots of First and the alleyway in order to power all of our vendors and food vendors and everything. It takes all of that just for the vendor aspect. And so there's a lot to figure out. I need water access for both carnival and vendors. And then we also definitely need power for the entertainment, but maybe somewhere we can put bleachers or chairs. And so because we have grown this event immensely, if it had been back in 2013, it would be no problem to move it. Yeah. But that's not the event that we have today. So we're trying to figure all that out and how it would work best, because you want a festival so it flows into each other and not just sectioned off a block here or a block there, but none of it flows together. That will be a negative against the event itself and making it appealing and also good for our vendors. And so those are all the things that we're trying to figure out. And believe me, I am trying my hardest to see if we can make this all work the same.
Lisa Farquhar from the Dallas Area Chamber of Commerce. We've kind of hit the wall here on time. Lisa, thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good day. It's 8:53 in the morning. We're going to come back and wrap it up for you right after this.
You know that expression, put a little spring in your step? Well, whoever said it must have been talking about GlideStep hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Because with GlideStep, you get a pillow-like soft landing, then an explosive takeoff. It makes walking feel effortless. So springy, it's almost like you're floating. And speaking of effortless, have you tried hands-free Skechers slip-ins technology? Just step in and instantly your shoes are on. No bending down and no touching. Try GlideStep hands-free Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would it leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. If your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection on the drivetrain, AC, and more. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value free.
Call 800-298-9302. 800-298-9302.
Choose a fiesta of flavor this holiday season with Casa El Mirador. It's time to reserve their banquet room with room for 50 people, perfect for family gatherings, office celebrations, or festive get-togethers. And don't forget, Casa El Mirador specializes in expert catering service, bringing the flavors you love right to your event. Looking for the perfect gift? Casa El Mirador gift cards are always a hit. Celebrate this season at Casa El Mirador, 2nd and Weber in the Dalles. A true fiesta of flavor.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles football. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles football all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Providence Hood River, Columbia Bank, Beam Excavating and A1 Septic Service, and Schlosser Machine Shop.
The Eagles host David Douglas Friday night at 6:30 on KIHR.
1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. Early detection can save your life and your peace of mind. At Skyline Health, we offer advanced 3D mammograms read by a local breast health specialized radiologist, because expert eyes matter when it comes to your health. No referral needed, and we offer access for everyone. You care for everyone else. Now it's time to care for you. Call Skyline Health to schedule your mammogram today, because you're worth it.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher.
Because when I'm a teacher, I can help kids to learn and chase their dreams.
PI, a defect of the immune system, affects millions of children. Early and accurate diagnosis and treatment give children like Sam a chance to achieve their dreams.
It takes a lot of caring teachers to make school fun. It took a lot of caring people to keep my dream alive. And now, because of them, I can be head of the class.
For more information, visit the Jeffrey Modell Foundation at info4pi.org.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And it is now 8:57 in the morning. We took that one right to the wall today, but a lot of good stuff to talk about this morning. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we're going to talk Hood River County Schools with Superintendent Bill Newton and the Mayor of White Salmon, Marla Keither. We'll talk to her Wednesday. Heather Walker, Hood River County Christmas Project, is going to join us. It's that time of year again for that to get going. Jennifer Pauletto, and I forget who else is coming from Waugap, but we're going to talk, I'm sure, a little bit about their Tree of Joy project that's going on. Plus, they've also got a low-income energy assistance program stuff and things like that to deal with. So we'll do all that on Mid-Columbia Today over the next couple of days or so. Do want to tell folks that on Tuesday evening, tomorrow evening, Haven and Wasco County Domestic Violence Council, 6 to 8 in the evening, they'll start at the Dallas Civic Auditorium, they'll walk to the courthouse, and then they'll have a candlelight vigil. Of course, all that in remembrance of the importance of domestic violence prevention and helping the victims of domestic violence. So that is coming up. If you're up in Underwood, or actually you can go up there if you want to take part, Red Cross Blood Drive, Wednesday, 12:30 to 5:30, Underwood Community Center. For appointment information, go to underwoodcommunity.org. That's underwoodcommunity.org. The baseball is at 5 o'clock. The Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays playing for the American League pennant. It is Game 7. The winner gets the defending world champion Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series beginning on Friday. Can the Mariners finally get an American League pennant? They've been around since 1977. They do not have one. George Kirby goes to the mound for the Mariners. It'll be Shane Bieber, the acquisition from Cleveland, for the Blue Jays. He has pitched very well for Toronto, and he pitched very well. He outdueled Kirby on last Wednesday, it was, I believe, was Game 3 of the series. Game 7 in Toronto. Again, they're going to start a little after 5 o'clock, so you'll want to be settled in by then. Seahawks also play tonight at 7 against Houston. We're out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.